Everybody, welcome once again to the Erickson Oregon podcast. It's been a million years since we've done one of these.
That long?
Yeah, that long. But we decided it was time to come out of our temporary retirement for a special occasion. We have a special guest with us in the studio today. We have my old friend and partner from the Fluxedo Junction days, Will Angeloro, here from across the pond.
Hello.
From merry old England, stranded here in the face of an Icelandic volcano. Say hello, Will.
I dare anyone to try to pronounce the name of that volcano.
I wouldn't know it. I didn't know it had a name.
Yeah.
I didn't know it had a name.
It's got about 18 consonants and a few Y's.
Oh, my goodness.
And of course,
is that why you're still here?
That's why I'm still here.
Oh my god! What till when? Do you know?
Who knows? Maybe someday.
Maybe
if they allow us to fly.
It's crazy. I saw CNN. And the guy had a mask on. It was like Heathrow Airport. Like we're still not open. Right?
It's craziness. Yeah. I'm Scott Kukler, by the way.
I'm Tom Palmateri.
Cool. All right. Yeah. So what is the name of the volcano?
I'm asking you.
I
can't
know.
Pronounce it. They had this thing on the Daily Show. The only person in the world that could pronounce it was Al Roker.
Wait, now why is it that when Mount St. Helens erupted, we didn't see this happen with travel?
It's as boring as wind direction.
That's it?
It's a fluke.
Mount St. Helens is near the coast. It's in Washington, and all the smoke just blew out to the Pacific. All the ash blew out to the Pacific.
Is this like connected with the Gulf Stream?
Or? God knows. I mean, volcanoes go off all the time in Iceland. They usually blow up over the North Pole. This particular one happened to hang itself over the UK, you know.
And not just
UK. Like a guest who won't leave.
It's like everywhere, right? I mean,
well,
like
Europe,
the Poland,
really.
They have the services for the Prime Minister.
The President,
yeah. Horrible.
Is that crazy? Like 96 people died on that plane. It was like the entire government got wiped out.
Like the President, the First Lady.
The head of the National Bank, like the Archbishop, like all these people, yeah.
You know, and when I saw that, the first thing I thought was KGB.
That's what I thought.
But when you listen to the black box, you realize it was the pilot. He was Actually, it wasn't even the pilot. It was the president going make another attempt at it. And they said no, and he said yes.
Weren't they just coming back from Russia?
Yeah.
Some kind of like memorials for something.
The occasion, the anniversary of a bunch of Polish military officers being slaughtered by Soviet forces during World War II. So they were actually on their way to a commemoration of that with the Russian Prime Minister now.
Yeah.
Putin. Yeah. So, that was the first thing I thought. When
it's so sad, man.
Isn't it so sad that you and I are so untrusting?
it was the first thing I thought of, yeah. It's you know what? But it probably was.
Yeah.
But there's all people.
Tell us a little bit, or tell the audience, because we know already. Well, first of all, the reason Will, if for those of you who don't know Will, which could be most of the people listening, the reason he doesn't have a British accent is that he's American.
Well, he still does have a British accent.
You know, you don't have a British accent.
You have a semi-quasi-British accent.
It's not that you have an accent, it's that you phrase your words and your sentences in a way that a British person would.
But right.
It's not like you're pronouncing words differently.
Yeah. Well, I will say aluminium for the rest of the night. Whenever it comes up, I will say that.
It's like
or centrifugal force. If that happens to come up in conversation, then you'll know it's a
it could
a British lexicanal quirk.
So tell us a little bit. First of all, Will is an American. We've known him forever. We grew up with him.
He's from West Islip.
He's an amazing musician. I've been in like 50 bands with him, and then he got married and moved to the UK. Had a kid. Started a studio, had his own podcast, plays with a couple of different bands, runs your own pro audio company.
Yeah.
But
tell us
specifically about the part of the UK that you're from, because probably most people here don't know anything about it.
I am in the southwest, which is sort of farmer country, but it's also the real kind of Mists of Avalon, Stonehenge is real near my house, Glastonbury, and so it's a really kind of weird place that sort of attracts a lot of musicians, and as a result, instead of having that sort of small town towny feel, we have a lot of what we call arrivers, you know, people who aren't from the area, have moved to this part of the country, so we've got some amazing array of musicians and artists and dancers, and it's a cool place.
Right on.
And we're near the city of Bristol, which is famous for a massive attack in Portishead, so the drug choice of our area is marijuana.
Nice. And you don't smoke marijuana?
No, I don't.
Is it country? Is it like with Neil and I?
Is it
like being in the country, like with Neil and I? Like, farms and stuff like that?
Not so bad, no. I mean, it's...
Is Uncle five, Monty
five
there?
Minutes, 5 minutes from the... It's interesting, because we come from Long Island, where the only difference between a town, really, is a line on a map. You're in Bayshore, you're in West Islip, you don't even know.
Right.
Whereas, I live in a town of 30,000 people, and when you leave the town, you literally can see the old Roman walls, and then there's nothing
right.
until you hit the next town. Yeah. And it's at like 5 or 6 miles in between the next town or city is where you'll find Uncle Monty.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's great. I mean, it's so nice because you got that kind of industrialized town center and all the clubs and the places to go and the music shops and the record store and the pubs, and then literally a 5-minute walk and you're in like fairyland. You know what I mean? Seriously, you walk these old trails and you feel like you're in Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
You know, something's gonna step out. Yeah.
And
on like those cool mornings, the mist just covers everything. It's fantastic. I never get tired of it.
That's one of the places I want to visit. England, yeah. Italy, those two places.
There's castles and stone circles everywhere. I mean, I'm not kidding. We think it's a joke when you live in America, like, they must be up to their eyeballs in castles. We are.
Right.
And you're driving down the road, they get in the way.
Right.
You know, it's so much fun. And I never get sick of it. You kind of have to keep that tourist aspect.
At some point, the novelty has to wear off.
Well, I'm hoping it's not going to wear off anytime soon. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does. You get stuck in work. That's why occasionally you need to make the right turn out instead of the left turn. You go, oh, there's a castle there. Yay.
Well, let's give Will the first choice of music for tonight. What do you want to play for us?
Really? What do I want to play? I want to play Solomon Burke.
Nice.
To start, yeah.
When your baby leaves you all alone and nobody calls you on the phone, don't you feel like a cry? Don't you feel like a cry? For here I am, honey, come on, you cry to me. When you're all alone in your lonely room, there's nothing but the smell of her perfume. Don't you feel like a cry? Don't you feel like crying? Don't you feel like a cry? Come on, come on. Walk with me. Oh, oh yeah. And you're waiting for a voice to come in the night, but there's no one. Don't you feel like I'm crying?
Don't you feel like a crack, 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 a crack
All right, that was The Mayor of Simpleton by XTC. That's what album is that off of again? Is that
off? Oranges and Lemons.
Right, right. Yes. And before that, we heard Solomon Burke. Tell us a little bit about that track, Will.
King Solomon Burke. It is one of his first tracks. What I love about it is the fact that it's recorded like all the early James Brown, a lot of the old soul stuff, with one microphone.
Yeah, that's great. Whole,
and I love the fact that they're using
a good microphone.
Yeah, well, it is. It's the old valve mics, yeah. But you got that orchestra doing that boom, boom, boom. They all pluck the strings. Ding, boom, boom. That's such a great sound.
It's what year is that?
Oh, it's probably 62, 63.
Yeah. I saw Solomon Burke play, it must have been close to 5 years ago now. They have this concert that they do every year in New York called the Jammy Awards. And it's basically, predictably, a bunch of jam bands getting together and giving awards to each other. I think it's run by, like, Relics Magazine. So it's always a pretty healthy mix of groups like String Cheese Incident, Fish Screaming Cheetah Willies, Widespread Panic. But then you'll also get, like, Steve Winwood or the Black Crows or Solomon Burke, who I saw one year.
Where was
and, it? It was at Paramount Theater, I guess.
I've never been there.
Great place to see a show, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I mentioned that the other day, and somebody was like, yesterday, Tom Campo, this guy I work with, was like, the Felt Forum.
Campo.
I referred to it, I didn't even say that, I said, I think that Dave Brubeck is playing at the Felt Forum. He's like, the Felt Forum? What is that, we live in, like, in 1985?
Yeah.
It doesn't exist anymore. I'm like,
you're going to go get dinner at the Automat after that? What should we play?
Oh, it's your choice now. So
yeah, okay, let me think.
It's your choice next?
What's that song? I'm not overly. I do like the Ramones. I'm not overly familiar with their catalog. What's the one song? Is it 53rd and 3rd? Is that it's a Dee Dee song?
That's a good one. But I think for you, if I was to advise you, if I was your chief of staff,
as your attorney, I advise you.
If I was your chief of staff and you came in and said, amongst other things, do we position Missiles in Turkey or what Ramones record are we going to play?
Yeah,
I would say. Knowing your temperament and your history, you would want to hear something off the one album that Phil Spector produced.
I was thinking about that. Let's talk about Phil Spector for a minute, actually, before we go into this.
He's a genius.
He is a genius. I read this great biography on Phil Spector, and I really knew very little about him aside from knowing what records he was involved with. I didn't know all that much about him. And this biography was just amazing. Mm. And the cat has always been nuts.
I know.
He's always been nuts.
Well, the thing with Phil Spector is, and again, he is a one-trick pony. He did what he did so great, it just changed the face of music.
Yeah.
But what I thought his gift was less this wall of sound thing, which was kind of not invented by him. It was kind of a Joe Meek thing. Joe Meek more than anything. Joe Meek was that
and Joe Meek, when they finally met, Joe Meek, this is in the book.
Yeah.
Joe Meek, I guess. Phil Spector went to the UK at some point in the early 60s, and that's where he first met the Beatles, I think, actually. This is like at the very beginning of Beatlemania. And he met Joe Meek. He made a point of meeting Joe Meek there, and Joe Meek basically snubbed him. He was like, you ripped me off. Why should I want to hang out with you?
Well, what Joe Meek didn't have was that sense of arrangement, that Brill Building 1940s sense of theater that he brought to the music. I mean, sonically, he was ripping off Joe Meek, but where Phil met, I think Phil Spector's genius was in his arrangement.
All right, I just realized, don't go any further, I know what I want to play.
All right.
I do want to play, I don't want to play a Phil Spector track, I don't want to play a Ramones track, I want to play a Joe Meek produced track.
Ooh.
I want to play Jack the Ripper by Screaming Lord Sutch.
Yes.
There's a man walks the streets of London late at night with a little black bag that's oh so tight. He got a big black cloak hanging down his back. Well, that's the one that cat just hates to fight. Well, he walks down the street, and again he meets a show named Blouse. When she walks down the street, he's never far behind. Jack the Ripper. With his little black bag and his one-track mind.
really, really catches up when the lights go down. Cause that's the time he starts to dirty up, shove around. When he walks down the street, every girl in it says, your name, Brown. Never catch him, cause he's a much too clever. But if they do, man, they'll get the leather, yeah. With the streets of London can never say. Whenever Jack the Ripper ever shows his face. Pretty little girl is taking my advice. And don't walk the streets of London late at night. When he walks down the street, there's a girl he met, says, your name is Blood.
This is Rock and Roll Radio. Come on, let's rock and roll with the Ramones.
Let's go.
Rock and Roll Radio. Stay tuned for more rock and roll.
We're back. That was a group called Sparks with a track called This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us. Is that
correct?
Right? Tom and I are both completely unfamiliar with that track. Will turned us on to it. What year is that from?
That's probably 79. Don't quote me. I think it's late
70s. I thought it was 74 somewhere.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, let me see.
If it is, I'd be really shocked how bad I am.
But he kind of looks. It looked like it was more mid 70s than late 70s to me. Like maybe another.
Yeah, right.
It was pretty cool. I don't know, man. Definitely out there. No, this is not going to show us. This is gonna...
That's modern, isn't it?
Yeah, they're again. That's them now.
Yeah.
Oh, they're really old now.
Well, the keyboard player looks the same, trust me. There he is.
Still rocking that Hitler stash.
Could you imagine, like...
Anyway, that's Sparks. Yeah.
And before that, we heard the Ramones with Rock and Roll Radio, produced by Phil Spector, the legendary murderer. And
is he in jail?
He's in jail. Oh, yeah, finally.
He won't be getting out anytime soon.
He looks completely out of his mind.
And before that, kicking off that set, we heard Screaming Lord Sutch with Jack the Ripper, produced by Joe Meek.
With a great video.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. So we're actually, believe it or not, we're nearing the end of the show. We've got time for like maybe three more songs. So we all get to pick one more.
Can I play that one I was telling you about?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. What do you know about Voyager?
The band?
The spacecraft.
Oh, very little. Oh, you know, I don't know.
There was a gold plate. It was the first man-made object to leave the solar system. It's sort of traveling through the universe now.
What year?
I don't remember when it left the universe, but it's sort of...
60s?
It was launched in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a gold disc on it with all the stuff on it, like diagrams of humans and where the planet is and relation to the... But it's also audio recordings. It's like hello in every language. There's the Brandenburg Concertos on there. All sorts of weird stuff.
Bits of music to show.
If some alien, you know, picked it up, they would listen to it and say, oh, that's
human,
Bach.
That's human life.
You know?
Right, yeah.
That's excellent.
Great music right now.
And this track is on it, which I absolutely love. It's one of the most haunting, scary things I've ever heard. It's called Dark Was the Night by Blind Willie Johnson. Thank you.
I'm the operator with my pocket calculator.
We're back,
lots of words.
We're out of time, so we're going to wrap it up with one last song. Tom has the final pick, but before we go, let me just say that we'd like to thank Will and Jamie for joining us today. Hopefully Will gets back, and the volcano is not a deterrent.
Yeah, let's hope that calms down.
So, Tom, what are we going to be wrapping up with today? What's your final choice? It's all on your shoulders. It's all on you.
How about the Clash? All Lost in a Supermarket.
Brilliant. You know what? I've been listening to the Clash.
That song.
You know what? Here's the thing. There was some other radio show I heard that was like dissecting that album and just going track by track, and they were saying that Lost in the Supermarket is actually a love song, in a way, because it was written by Joe Strummer, right? But it's sung by Mick Jones. And the guy I was listening to was saying that it's almost as if Joe Strummer had written the song specifically with Mick Jones in mind, lyrically, knowing like what his background was and his tough family life and everything. I had never given the song that much thought before. Yeah. I thought it was just a goofy song.
I mean, it's such a wonderful song. It's like this kind of a dreamy kind of melancholy quality to it. And I've been really feeling this song lately.
It's a song that would only have worked on that album. And it would only have worked with Guy Stevens' production, because it fits perfectly with every little... Like, even Sandinista, which is off in every direction.
And also, Will is our Clash aficionado.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I always thought that... I love Sandinista. I thought it's a great album, but it's like someone with attention deficit disorder. It's like, okay, I'll do soul, I'll do hip-hop, and do some dub, and then I'll do some punk, and then... But London Calling was all that with a coherent vision at the end, you know? So you had a lot of experimentation, but it seemed like it all belonged to one package, not a whole mess of stuff.
Well, from what I understand, they actually thought that was going to be their last record, right, or at least the last record for a label, because they thought they were about to be dropped. Mm-hmm. So they were like, we may never get a chance to do this again, so let's just do whatever the hell we want. You know, let's not be afraid to incorporate rhythm and blues or dub or whatever else into this.
Just
it doesn't matter if it's punk or not.
That's what I mean, like, I don't know, do they have similar kinds of grocery stores in England? Because I feel like, I always feel like that's a place where I get sad and get blue. I go to the grocery store and I kind of...
I suppose, but keep in mind that they grew up in the docks of London.
Right.
So, I mean, and also back in the 60s and the early 70s when things were horrific over there.
So they didn't have the nice... I mean, I like hiding in grocery stores and just... Mm. And the one by us plays really cool music, too. You might actually hear this song, Ed King Cohen.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Isn't that
weird? How far have we gone?
Or the Smiths. Or you're like, I'm like, you know.
Well, let's hear it now. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next week.
There it is. I can't remember a special offer.
I'm all lost. I'm all lost in the supermarket. I come along with you.